Hey everybody, welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. This is Kevin talking a little Big 12 today with my pal Andrew on the other line. I mean, in the Jayhawk Talk studios. Andrew, how you doing?
Pretty good, Kevin. Excited to talk about the Big 12. I think that there's a lot of good teams in the Big 12 tournament, so there's a lot that can happen, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. Let's run down real fast what we're going to talk about today. This is a quick episode. We already released the other one. And this is releasing the next day, even though we're recording it like 7 hours later. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the Big 12 tournament. We're going to have our boy Brian Haney on the show to help us walk through the teams and scenarios there. We're going to talk a little bit about the Big 12 awards that were released today. We got some beef with some of those awards. And, of course, we do our annual Jayhawk Talk Awards, which matter way more than the Big 12 awards. We are also going to close the show with not a step your game up, but something kind of similar. We would just ask that you stick around and see what happens there. I'm not really going to preview it because I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
We're just going to look into the future. We've seen some premonitions. That's it.
That's it. That's all we got to say.
Stick around for the end.
Andrew, I don't know if you know this, but the Big 12 awards came out, and I was kind of surprised about one thing. Bill Self didn't win the Coach of the Year in the Big 12.
No, what are your thoughts on that? Well, I guess my thoughts are what should be the criteria, because in terms of teams that overperformed, you know, from one standpoint, did Tubby Smith really overperform because they were kind of projected to be the seventh seed or seventh in the Big 12, and that's where they finished. That being said, they had a really good season. They're making the NCAA tournament, so they did overperform, but maybe not if you look at it generally. I think they got a lot better. Maybe they're a year ahead of what they should be. I don't have much beef with Tubby Smith winning. Whatever. Everyone knows it probably still should be Big 12 or should be Bill Self for Big 12 player or Coach of the Year. Because everyone knows that, I'm not mad at it.
Fair enough. That's fine. And I agree with you. Obviously, I'm not sure you could go real wrong with either one. And I do think that when you put it up against everything else, I think a lot of coaches and a lot of people think that, well, they played Kansas. They were going to win all their games. So, you know, it's just too tough to what do you have to do? They have to go undefeated to win? Is that what has to happen for
Bill
Self? That's
a good question. Well, you know, in terms of like Phil Jackson, I think only won Coach of the Year once. Greg Popovich doesn't win it that often, even though he's probably the best coach in the NBA. So I think it's kind of one of those scenarios. I don't think you can be really mad at it. You know, the awards you really want to win are, you know, the games and the titles. That's certainly because the other things are just subjective. Everyone has a different criteria, different way of coming up with it. You can't really control that.
That's fair. All right. Well, let's run down those awards real quick.
Okay. I'll start off here. Freshman of the year, real quick. Juwan Evans from Oklahoma State won it. He only played in 9 Big 12 games out of 18, but he scored 22 in the win against KU and 42 in the loss to Oklahoma. Probably deserving. I think if there was a better freshman out there, they would have won because, you know, Juwan Evans only played 9 games. But barring because there wasn't any other freshman who was really that good, he gets the win.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, let's move on to the newcomer of the year. Deonte Burton from Iowa State transferred from Marquette, averaged 10 points a game. He's really wide and he's really fast, so he can play big. He can play the guard. I have no bones about that. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he was. He was huge for them, too, because they needed all the help they could get.
Yeah, first guy off the bench, and really they only play 6 guys, 7, probably 6.5. So Deonte Burton certainly helped Iowa State. I think they would have lost a bunch of games if Deonte Burton wasn't in there.
I agree.
Let's go on to sixth man of the year. This is really not fair because Jayshon Page from West Virginia won the award. Jayshon Page came off the bench, but he led the team in scoring. And basically everyone on West Virginia averages between 24 and 26 minutes a game. So Jayshon Page gets the win because he does come off the bench, but he's kind of the leader of the team or one of the leaders on the team.
Yeah, that's not fair, but, you know, whatever. He was still probably the best sixth man, even though he wasn't really a sixth man.
Defensive player of the year. Here's, an interesting one. Prince from Texas. You know, he had 60 blocks on the year. But when it comes to defensive player of the year, I think sometimes people just like go immediately to the stats.
Who had the most steals? Okay. Yeah, who had the most blocks? Okay. Well, it's one of those two.
And, you know, we've been kind of victim and victor of this situation when Mario won defensive player of the year because he had the most steals. But everyone knew that Brandon Rush was the best defender. Even Russell Robinson was the best defender on the team. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, just look at the stats. And if anyone has a lot of stats, they get the win. Whereas, you know, just because there's not a metric for, you know, how well you play defensively, they kind of resort to that. That being said, Prince Ibe, good defender, unless he's guarding Perry Ellis.
Indeed.
Coach of the year, we talked about with Tubby Smith at Texas Tech. Player of the year, Buddy Hield, Oklahoma. Pretty obvious, right?
Yep.
I think last year there was a little bit of an argument for Perry Ellis to win that award. But he got hurt at the end of the year, and maybe it was just Kansas fans thinking that. But I don't think there's any doubt about it this year. Let's talk about the all-defensive team and all-newcomer team really quick. Both Devontae and Frank made the all-defensive team. I think that's good for them. I think that they're two top-notch elite defenders in this league.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know if I completely buy into that as a, you know, like in terms of who would I want defending somebody on the other side, but from this league, there might be some other guys, but they obviously did. I mean, Devontae alone in the Big 12 games versus, or the game against Buddy, may have just, that was what got him on that list.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. I mean, he was fine, but at the beginning of the year, remember how much people were getting past our guards, like whenever they wanted?
Well, West Virginia, I mean, our guards were the liability defensively.
I know. So it's kind of crazy to see two of our guards on the all Big 12 first team defense or whatever. But, you know, whatever. They're
kudos
good.
To them. Congratulations to them. That's a pretty good accomplishment, especially when, you know, Bill Self emphasizes defense. Otherwise, the newcomer team, no KU player. Kevin, what if I would have told you at the beginning of the season that Cheick Diallo would play in the Big 12 season and wouldn't even have made it into the newcomer of the year team? What would your reaction have been?
I probably wouldn't have believed you, but then again, I would have probably thought something like Cliff Alexander happened, and it kind of did. I mean, it's a little different, but just the other way around. Didn't play early and didn't play late.
Okay, let's talk about the first team. We've got Torian Prince from Baylor. We've got George Niang from Iowa State. He was a unanimous selection. Perry Ellis from KU. He was also unanimous. Buddy Hield from OU. Unanimous. And Isaiah Taylor from Texas. Now, when we picked our projected first team at the beginning of the year, we had almost the same thing, except we had Rico Gathers from Baylor instead of Torian Prince from Baylor. So we did a pretty good job of projecting who was going to be good.
I agree. I thought we did pretty good. And then the second team, we almost basically predicted as well. We had the other guys, and then the second team we had
Wayne
basically
Selden,
all
Frank
of them.
Mason, Monty Morris. We basically had the second team predicted as well. Yeah. But other notables from the All Big 12 teams: Wayne Selden was a second teamer. Frank Mason, second teamer. Devontae Graham, honorable mention, and Landon Lucas also got an honorable mention. So our starting five made it in some form into the All Big 12 team. You know, others to focus on from other teams. Monty Morris was a second teamer. You know, I think he probably should have been a first teamer, but Isaiah Taylor took his spot. And I don't think that people were willing to give Iowa State two all Big 12 first teamers when they finished sixth in the league. So I think Isaiah Taylor maybe have stole that away from Monty Morris because of that reason. I think I'd take Monty Morris ahead of him, though.
I would all day long, yeah.
Agreed. And then Rico Gathers, our predicted first teamer, got third team, and that's maybe in large part to his sickness throughout the year. So, Kevin, let's talk about our own awards. I think these are more important than the official Big 12 ones.
100% agree with you. Hang on, let's get some medal ceremony music queued up here, at least for the beginning. All right, Andrew, these are the 2016... Jayhawk Talk Award, sometimes called the Jayhawk Talkies.
Oh, you didn't know that? That's good. I didn't know that. I love that now.
I just made it up, but that's what we're calling them from now on. The Jayhawk Talkies, the annual award ceremony here. Andrew, we've got a lot of great awards to give away. We're going to start, Andrew, with perhaps the most important award of all, the Andrew Wiggins Player of the Year. The nominees are Perry Ellis. Actually, we don't need to go any further. How about Perry Ellis?
Yeah, we didn't really write out nominees, so let's just give the winner. Just open the envelope, Kevin. Perry Ellis wins the Andrew Wiggins Player of the Year Award. Why do we call it the Andrew Wiggins Player of the Year Award?
Not sure.
We just call it. That's what we've called it the past couple of years. Maybe we should think about renaming that. But maybe it should be the Perry Ellis Player of the Year Award.
Oh man!
All right.
I think the Perry Ellis needs to be Perry Ellis Dunk of the Year Award. Oh. We need to name the Dunk of the Year after Perry Ellis.
Okay, I love that. All right, let's move on and talk about the Bill Self Coach of the Year Award. Kevin, who has won the Bill Self Coach of the Year Award?
The Jayhawk Talkie goes to Bill Self. Okay. We believe that Bill Self had the best coaching performance in the Big 12 this year. The award goes to Bill Self.
Okay, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty awards. This award is called, this Jayhawk Talkie is called the Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year Award. There were some guys we had pegged early in the season, but I believe that another coach is going to end up winning this award. Kevin, who wins the talkie?
This was tough, but with some deliberation, we landed on Bruce Weber as the Jayhawk Talkie Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year.
Yeah, Bruce Weber. I think that's
it's so whiny.
It seems complicated and close at the beginning, and then you really think about it, and it goes to Bruce this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just Travis wasn't even involved, and Scott Drew didn't do anything, and like it just anyway. It's one of those three every year, and it's Bruce got the nod this year.
All right, we're gonna move on and talk about the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy of the Year Award. We didn't discuss a winner.
Oh yeah, I guess we should do it right now.
I think early in the year we had.
Dean Wade was up there,
right,
as an option.
But Phil Forte was the option, but he got hurt.
Oh, this is tough. It's tough because let's be honest, there's not a lot of white guys this year.
I'm gonna go with Matt Thomas.
I was just gonna say we can't give it to Ryan Spangler because Ryan Spangler is awesome. And I was looking at Iowa State, and I swear to you, the next name out of my mouth is gonna be Matt Thomas. He's pretty annoying.
Yeah, let's give it to Matt Thomas.
I mean, there's Connor Lambert, too.
Oh. Matt Thomas has another year to win it. Connor Lambert's a senior.
Let's give it to Connor.
And he hit all those
threes. And his name's Connor.
Yeah, he hit all those threes against us at Allen Fieldhouse. Connor Lambert.
Late Jayhawk Talkie.
11:59 victory by an edge there. Connor Lambert gets the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy Jayhawk Talkie.
Uh-huh. Okay. So the next one, the Ryan Spangler, I wish that guy was on our team award. We've always liked Ryan Spangler.
Yeah, Ryan's not going to win it this year.
No, he's not.
And I think it's going to be one of those like honorary, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio finally wins an Oscar, but probably not for his best performance just because like he needs to win one. You know, so The Revenant, not that great of a movie, but you know, this is where this is going to fall in. So we're going to give it to Rico Gathers.
I agree.
Not his best season. But, you know, he's been around for 4 years. We like the guy.
I like him.
We're going to give the award to him.
There you go. How about this one? The Where Did They Come From Surprising Team Award.
Texas Tech, right?
Got to go to Tech.
We're going to talk to our boy Brian Haney a little bit later, and he's going to elaborate on the Red Raiders a little bit. But, you know, they're going to make the tournament. And I think I talked a lot of trash, or at least did not have any confidence whatsoever in them at the beginning of the year. And I was wrong.
Me too. Yeah. That's why they're the Where Did They Come From Surprising Team Award winner.
That's right. Let's move on to the Travis Ford Hot Seat Coach for 2015-2016 season.
Mm.
Travis Ford. We named this after him 2 years ago.
I know.
He's owned this category. It was the namesake for this category for 2 years. Finally, to see... We'll talk about that later, but He may be gone after this season. So Travis Ford wins the name. I don't think he was the winner last year, though.
Who was?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, maybe it was Rick Barnes.
Oh, it might have been.
I think it was Rick Barnes.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Let's go on to the Kim English F That Guy Award.
Yeah, we gave it to Juwan Evans. And I think that's about right.
Just because that one game.
Yeah. This was a little tougher.
And this is probably more out of respect, you know, for him in that game. This is like, it seems like a derogatory category, but it's probably more out of respect.
It is a derogatory category. And I did not like Kim English and F That Guy. So it's probably a little unfair. I think you're right, but I still give it to Juwan Evans.
All right. And this is probably the biggest word of the night. This is the one everybody waits for. Everybody has betting pools about.
Let me put the music on.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year Award, which is the opposite of sportsman. The worst sportsman of the year. I think we got to give it to our boy, Brandon Green.
Brandon Green is the winner of the Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year. I'm so happy about this. I'm so glad that the Sportsman of the Year is on our team.
Okay, Iowa State game. Game's over, 10 seconds left. Who has the ball? Of course, Brandon Green.
It was so good. He was dribbling down.
The whole crowd is yelling, no!
Wait, Brandon, no!
And I'm screaming, dunk it!
Dunk it!
Do it!
Hang on. Andrew, if he'd have dunked it, would it have been one of these?
That was probably the biggest dick move. Dick move.
That's the question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
you think it would have? Would it have been a dick move?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So props to Brandon Green for winning the most prestigious award.
What if it was senior night?
It was senior night.
And for him.
His senior night? Oh, yeah. Do it.
All day, right?
Oh, do it.
Or does he just spot up for a three?
Oh, he should do that, too.
He probably spot up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that concludes the Jayhawk Talkies for 2015-2016. I think this was good, Andrew. We'll have to keep the Jayhawk Talkies going. And I don't know if you want to do this now, but we also did some over-unders.
Let's do it at the end.
Okay. All right. We'll do that at the end.
And look, we got to call our boy Brian Haney.
Let's get Brian in here.
I want to talk about some Big 12.
All right. Let's do it. We'll get Brian in. Hang tight for just a second, and we will be right back. All right, we are back and we are joined by Brian Haney, voice of the Texas Tech Red Raiders and very good friend of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Welcome, Brian.
Guys, how you doing? Andrew, Kevin, thanks for having me.
Doing good, man. Welcome to March.
It's great to be in March. It's great to be heading home to the Kansas City area. And it's great to have the team that I cover now here in Lubbock a part of the postseason picture in a much bigger sense than just a trip to the Big 12 tournament. With Tech's win over K-State on Saturday, we firmly feel the Red Raiders are in for the first time since 2007. So really pumped to be talking big picture March Madness basketball and not just the next few days in KC.
Absolutely. Well, in terms of people I know, I think Brian is the most knowledgeable person about the Big 12. So we're happy to have him on there to talk a little about Big 12 and a little about how these teams are going to do in the NCAA tournament. So, Brian, what we have for you today is just some questions. We're going to touch on every team in the Big 12, teams at the bottom, maybe a little bit shorter. But we're going to get started with our power rankings, number 10, last in the league. Let's keep this nice and short and sweet, boys. TCU finished the season 11-20, 2-6 in the Big 12. No postseason. They're in the number 10 seed. First question to Kevin, really quickly. Will Trent Johnson be back next year?
I think they give him one more year, but I don't feel great about it.
Okay, and to Brian, what lessons could TCU learn from Texas Tech in rebuilding that program? I think that they were in similar positions, you know, a couple of years ago. Obviously, Tech's excelled, and they're, you know, headed to the NCAA tournament. TCU kind of going in the opposite direction. What have you seen with Texas Tech that's kind of put them there where TCU could maybe steal from them?
Well, Tech has a Hall of Fame coach, and it's tough to steal the Big 12 coach of the year, obviously. Tubby Smith does so much with individual player development and then in-game adjustments that have made Texas Tech, now in his third season, relevant, a tournament team, a club worthy of the number 26 RPI and number one strength of schedule. So tough to point to that. But I hope Trent Johnson gets one more year. I don't know if he does or not, but they finally have the new stadium that they did all the renovations in, and he deserves, after playing in a JUCO gym a year ago, to get more than just one season in that. But I like Chauncey Collins. I like JD Miller. I actually like some of their young talent more than what Travis Ford has to work with right now, since Juwan Evans is out and Phil Forte's been out since game three. But that's a tough spot to be in right now within this given season. But I think with that new arena, they've got a chance to get better in a hurry.
Well, let's move on and talk about Oklahoma State. No postseason for them either. They're the 9 seed. They're going to face K-State on Wednesday for the right to play KU on Thursday. This is Travis Ford's worst season by far. Injuries to Phil Forte and Juwan Evans. Brian, how far is Oklahoma State away from competing? You know, next year, can they build around Juwan Evans, Phil Forte, and maybe Leighton Hammonds? Or is this a bigger rebuild than maybe we think?
I think they're pretty close. I mean, depending on who's at the reins, obviously, you're taking over a program that has a top 20 national recruit at point guard who was hands down the best freshman in the Big 12 when he was healthy, and so good that even though he missed the last 9 games, he was still the Big 12 freshman of the year. You get Phil Forte back for a redshirt senior year. Hammonds will be a senior as well. He just went for 20 versus Texas the other day. You say goodbye to Jeff Newberry, but I really feel like they've got a lot of pieces in place to flip the script fast and be not in the upper tier necessarily, but certainly, you know, where you become accustomed to seeing them in that 4 through 6 or 7 range of the Big 12 pecking order. And we'll see who's guiding the ship. But I think there's a lot to look forward to with a pretty quick reset for Oklahoma State.
All right, Kevin, how happy will you be if Doug Gottlieb is the next coach for the Cowboys?
Oh, my God. Let's see. On a scale of 1 to KU just won the NCAA championship, probably like just under KU just won the NCAA championship.
Well, I think that'd make things interesting. I know that there's a grassroots movement for it to happen, but I am almost guaranteeing you that probably will not happen. Probably 0% chance. All right, let's move on to K-State really quick. Finished 16-15. They're 5-13 in the Big 12. NITology has them projected as a 7 seed, so they would not host a home game, but they would probably need to win a game in the Big 12 tournament against Oklahoma State on Wednesday. Brian, despite their record, are you impressed with what the Wildcats did this season, even though the record's not as great as it probably could have been?
I don't know what folks were expecting, those that have been the Bluebirds toward Bruce Weber this year, because you lost some really talented seniors and Nino Williams and, of course, the Marcus Foster transfer. He was their top scoring option when he was on the floor a year ago. And you add it all up, and to me, with that many freshmen coming in, it was going to be a bit of a rebuild. Look at what Kamau Stokes did before he got hurt. Look at Barry Brown and then obviously Dean Wade. All of them averaged above 8.5 points as a freshman. You know, guys, I was talking to Wyatt Thompson yesterday when the Wildcats were in Lubbock, and he was showing me that when you look at the scoring averages of Kamau Stokes, Dean Wade, Barry Brown, all above 8.5 points per game, and you look at K-State historically, Rodney Magruder didn't do that. We didn't see that from Steve Henson. Didn't see that from Askia Jones. There's a long list of KSU freshmen that weren't that productive their first year. So I think they've got a chance to bounce back and be relevant next year. And considering everybody they lost from a year ago, solid, not spectacular by any means season. But to me, I don't know what KSU fans are really expecting when you lose the seniors that they did on top of Marcus Foster.
And Kevin, to you, is this the matchup you want in the quarterfinal or Oklahoma State?
I think Oklahoma State's the better one, but I'd have a lot more fun listening to this.
Texas Tech's next. Kevin, you're going to sit this one out. We're going to talk just to Brian here. Projected 8 in the latest bracketology, a 7 seed in the Big 12 tournament. Got to play TCU on Wednesday for the right to play West Virginia on Thursday. Brian, what do you think the ceiling is for Texas Tech in the NCAA tournament? What's the expectation, but what are kind of the pipe dreams for this team?
Well, it all depends on the draw, obviously, but if there was ever a year where the teams on the 1 and the 2 seed line look a little bit susceptible or vulnerable, maybe this is the year. It's been that kind of topsy-turvy season, and so obviously without them going to draw Kansas, since you wouldn't see that type of pairing until an additional round later, I'd take my chances with any other one or two. So if they can get by their 8-9 or 7-10 matchup, Tubby Smith on three occasions has called this team a team of destiny. It would not stun me to see the Red Raiders win a couple of games in the dance. They're certainly playing well when it matters most. They've won 7 of their last 10, including a 5-game winning streak for the first time in their Big 12 history at one point. So this is a team that's really built on its sophomores, and they're all kind of growing up before our eyes. I would not pick them to be a one-and-done type team unless the matchup is a bad draw in the first round.
Well, speaking of draw, what type of team kind of makes Texas Tech lick their chops? You know, is there any type of team when they see the bracketology come out, it's like, we could handle them? And not necessarily any specific team, but what kind of team are we looking at?
Well, I mean, Texas Tech's backbone, their staple is they play good man-to-man defense. They're a very good free throw shooting team. And when they force the issue with deep dribble penetration and can get to the stripe, they can beat you. And they just now got Norris Odiase back healthy. He missed 6 weeks with a broken fourth metatarsal in his foot. That adds to the big man depth. Where they're vulnerable is teams that can turn up the heat on them and force turnovers, teams that will beat them on the glass, as we saw Kansas and West Virginia do. Now with Norris back, that helps. But those are the types of teams they wouldn't want to run into. But Coach Smith, you know, have all the confidence in the world and his ability to game plan and adjust on the fly within a game with some of the in-game adjustments we've seen him make time and time again. And I'm excited to see him back in the postseason. Folks forget he took Minnesota to 3 tournaments in 6 years and to the round of 32 in his last season and then got fired. So again, who do you think you are when that's not good enough up in Minneapolis? One man's trash was Texas Tech's treasure, and they were thrilled to pick him up. 3 years later, Big 12 Coach of the Year. So we're really excited to see what he can do in the postseason.
Well, let's move on to Baylor. Finished 21-10 in the regular season and 10-8 in the Big 12. They're projected 6th seed in the latest bracketology, 5 in the Big 12 tournament. We'll play Texas at 11:30 in the quarterfinal game on Thursday. Brian, could this be another Scott Drew finding a way to get to the Elite Eight type of team? Do they have that type of talent?
He's done it twice. They certainly have that type of talent. They've got a veteran point guard in Lester Medford who's made over 60 straight starts. Torian Prince comes out as a first-team All-League player the other day. And Rico Gathers, obviously, when he's on the floor and has his head screwed on straight, is one of the best rebounders in the country, let alone the conference. So there's a lot to like on this team. They were a little up and down the stretch, a little Jekyll and Hyde. What's interesting about this matchup, guys, is they beat Texas in Austin but lost to Texas in Waco. So this one is anybody's guess, but they're looking forward to seeing the Medford versus Tatum matchup, two of the better ball handlers in the league.
Kevin, question to you. Jonathan Motley's kind of taken over Rico Gathers' role as he's been sick. Who would you rather play? You play Motley more or Rico Gathers more if you had to pick one to play in that spot?
Man, that's a good question. I think that personally, I think that we know Gathers pretty well. I think Landon can muscle with him a little bit, but at the same time, Motley is a little bit easier for maybe, you know, some of these other folks on our bench to guard. You know, it, basically anybody but Landon could guard Motley. Unfortunately, only Landon could probably guard Gathers. So I would probably say Motley, but I don't know. That's close. Motley's been playing so well. It's tough to kind of 6-1, one half dozen the other.
Okay, let's move on to Texas. Finished 20-11 and 11-7 in Big 12 in Shaka Smart's first season. They're projected 6th seed in the latest bracketology, 4th seed in the Big 12 tournament. We'll play Baylor at 11:30 in the quarterfinal game. Brian, this is a more of a recruiting question or more of a legacy question, but is this the end of the giant Texas man era with Prince Ibe leaving? It seems like this team will be primarily guard driven in the future with Shaka Smart, or will Texas continue to recruit, you know, the top big guys in the country?
Connor Lambert, that other big that's a senior that's graduating. That's an interesting point. I think you'll see forwards with length that can also run the floor with his style. And who knows if he ever completely goes back to the full-on VCU, full 94 feet of pressuring style. But we saw more of that once Ridley went down. And so it'll be interesting to see. But props to Ibe. When Ridley goes down, he winds up blocking 44 shots in league play from January 3rd on and was just tremendous on the defensive end of the floor. So we'll see what the recruiting blueprint looks like going forward. But I give Shaka Smart a lot of credit for adjusting when they were dealt a tough blow there on the last game before a non-conference play was done and overcame it. Obviously, fresh in Kansas fans' minds is an 86-56 butt kicking in Austin when they took them behind the woodshed. But you take that out, and they've won four of their last six. And anytime you have a guard as good as Isaiah Taylor, that's a team that could make some noise. I don't expect them to get past Kansas or anything, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them beat Baylor. Wouldn't surprise me to see them win a couple of games in March. Certainly Shaka Smart has proven his merit in that regard.
And Kevin, is this the matchup you want in the semifinal or Baylor, or does it matter?
I don't think it matters. I honestly maybe would rather play Baylor just because I think Texas probably has a bad taste in their mouth after the 30-point drubbing that Brian mentioned there. So maybe Baylor. I think we seem to have Baylor's number a little more.
Okay, let's move on to Iowa State. Finished 21-10 in regular season and 10-8 in the Big 12. Projected 4 seed in the latest bracketology, 6 seed in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to play Oklahoma at 8 o'clock in the quarterfinal game on Thursday, probably the toughest quarterfinal or one of the toughest quarterfinal game in a Big 12 tournament that I can remember, maybe ever. I'm going to ask the same question to both of you because there may be different answers, but should the head coach Steve Prohm have sold out for success in this season, done everything he could to succeed in this season, or gone with the more building a program route? I think that's what he did. And I guess I'm specifically referring to Jameel McKay and suspending him for a couple games, and probably did that to kind of send a message to his team that he's building a program here. We're not just here to just try to win this year. So I guess the question is, did you agree with the Jameel McKay suspension, or should they have sold out for wins this year? Brian, we'll go to you.
You know, it's not like they ran him off or anything. I didn't have a problem with it. I think you have to put your foot down and be assertive when you're building your own program and putting your own stamp on it. And he still has it now at the end of the year in a different role. To me, their problems existed before the Jameel McKay flare-up. This was a team that was, in December, a top-five team nationally, and now they're not a top-five team in their conference tournament. It says a lot about the Big 12 before you talk about what it means for Iowa State. But clearly, there was not a living up to of expectation. Now, when we sit down and fill out our Big 12 player ballots, Monte Morris is a guy that you probably had to think twice about not putting on the first team because he was so good in dishing out assists and scoring the ball this year. But you can't put two players from a six seed on the first team all league, and that's what they proved to be as a team. So to me, what I'm getting at is they had a lot of talent to be much more than they actually were. And the Jameel McKay thing was certainly a headache and a hiccup in the middle of it. But I think there was an overall overwhelming, or rather underwhelming, of what they came forth with this year based on what the preseason expectation was. And I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like next year when you have to say goodbye to some of these seniors. And they'll still have some pieces, assuming Morris comes back and Burton will be a senior. But that's one of a couple of teams, the Oklahoma being the other, that will really be gutted roster-wise heading to next year.
Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that Prohm is overall, what do you do? I mean, you get this roster that's loaded with talent. You have a coach who is beloved by every single person in the city and the university. And then you're kind of forced to say, all right, well, good luck. Your expectations are to win the league and be a Final Four team, because that's kind of basically what he was given. Back to your McKay point. Since that suspension, and then he had the other kind of random sitting game, he's averaged like 13 points and 14 rebounds since then. I mean, he's been playing really well. Obviously, he was killing KU. So maybe he got through to him. Maybe he knows what he's doing. It will be interesting to see kind of going forward in the next couple of years what kind of talent he brings in.
And people think if they lost Naz Long midseason too, that obviously played a role as well.
Let's move on to West Virginia. Finished 24-7, 13-5 in the Big 12, just behind KU. Projected 3 seed in the latest bracketology. They're a 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to play the winner of TCU Texas Tech at 6 in the quarterfinal game on Thursday. Brian, what's your confidence in this team going into the NCAA tournament? They went to the Sweet 16 last year. A lot of people forget and got blown out by Kentucky. But can this be a team that could get to the Final Four?
They could. It all depends on the whistle and the capability of the guards that they're pressuring with their Press Virginia style. I say the whistle because they win by an average of 22 points per game at home up at the Coliseum there in Morgantown, and they get a lot better whistle up there than they'll get on the road. Take Texas Tech, for example. In Lubbock, against that style, in Lubbock, you had 34 free throw attempts for Texas Tech. The Red Raiders had 32 of them. You go up there, and it's just not seemingly called the same way. They'll foul you 40 times in a game. Now, 20 of them might get whistled, but they're hacking at you every time. Ask any Big 12 coach, they'll tell you the same. So what kind of whistle they get in these neutral sites starting this week in Kansas City and then beyond is going to be interesting. But then also the capability of the ball handlers to see that style, because they force 18 turnovers a game. And if you've not faced it and you've only got a day to get ready for it in a quick turnaround from a Thursday to a Saturday or a Friday, Sunday, man, that's a bear. But I love this team so much more so than just Jayshon Page and Devin Williams, because Holton's a stud. I mean, you've got Javon, a kid that comes in and gets you two or three steals a game in terms of Javon Carter in that starting lineup at the guard spot. There's a lot to like. But again, the whistle and then the competition's backcourt and their ability to handle the pressure will tell the tale on how far that team goes.
Kevin, quick question for you. Is West Virginia the most underrated team in the Big 12?
No, I don't think so. I think that they've been a top 10 team, you know, basically the last half of the season, been up there even farther in KenPom most of the year. I don't know that they're underrated. I think that they can beat anybody any given day, but I completely agree with everything Brian said. It's going to depend on a lot of variables, getting the right draw, getting the right team on the other side with the right guards and also the whistles. But I honestly, nothing would surprise me with them. I think they could lose in the first round and I wouldn't be shocked at all. And they could go to the Final Four and I wouldn't be shocked at all. It's just kind of one of those teams.
All right, two more. We've got Oklahoma, finished 24-6, 12-6 in the Big 12, projected 2 seed in the latest bracketology, 3 seed in the Big 12 tournament. We'll play Iowa in that tough quarterfinal game that we mentioned at 8 o'clock on Thursday. Brian, this isn't necessarily a Big 12 question, but I think it's a question that everybody's probably going to be weighing in on the next couple days, next couple weeks. Buddy Hield or Denzel Valentine for player of the year?
I'll still go with Hield, but obviously when your team loses 4 games in February and goes from being the favorite at that point at the end of January of winning its league to suddenly the 3rd seed, and he had some to do with that. I mean, there were some games where his efficiency wasn't nearly as good. Folks forget, though, that when they really started to take a dive, it was actually Jordan Woodard who fell into a horrible shooting slump of about 3 weeks long. And I think that put more pressure on Hield, as if there wasn't enough already. But Hield, through it all, still averages 25.3 a game, which wound up being a little less than a point shy of Michael Beasley's Big 12 scoring average record. And I think to do what he did, some of the big shots he hit, game winners late, and the epic performances he turned in, he still gets the vote in my book. But Oklahoma's got to show me something in Kansas City now before we feel super confident about them in the postseason, because as everybody said all year long, if you're a great jump shooting team that relies mostly on that, that one cold night when you got to win 6 in a row can sometimes do you in. And, we need to see more out of them in Kansas City before we start thinking they're world beaters come March Madness time.
Kevin, your thoughts? Player of the year?
I'm still sticking with Buddy. I don't think there's anything that could do what Buddy does, man. It's just he's incredible to watch. He's had all these moments, you know, where he's hit game winners or he's hit a crazy amount of threes or he's done something just crazy. And everyone goes, wow, and I think that when you look at Denzel, I think you go, wow, at his box score. You know what I mean? He's not as flashy. It's not as crazy. It's not game winners. And so it kind of comes down to who's looking at this, someone who's looking at box scores or someone who sit down and watch big moments in games. And I still kind of stick with Buddy, but I might be a little partial.
All right, let's move on to Kansas. Number one, 24-7 in regular season, 15-3 in the Big 12 to clinch an outright Big 12 title. Projected number 1 seed in the latest bracketology, I think number 1 overall, and number 1 seed in the Big 12 tournament. Play the winner of K-State, Oklahoma State at 1:30 in the quarterfinal game on Thursday. Question to you, Brian. You've seen a lot of Big 12 tournaments in your day. For Kansas, I guess specifically, do you think the Big 12 tournament matters when it comes to success in the NCAA tournament? I know Roy, I don't know if he actually came out and said it, but didn't really care about the Big 12, and a lot of fans think that way. But are you like Roy and maybe you don't care? You like me and I want to win every game we're ever going to play, even if it's a scrimmage?
I guess it depends how you lose, if you're going to lose, and when you lose, if you're going to lose. You know, Kansas fans have said for years, ever since that Coach Williams quote that, hey, if we're going to lose, let's go out early and rest up. This team is rocking and rolling right now, though. Haven't lost since the Big 12 SEC Challenge weekend when they started this win streak, beating Kentucky. The previous loss was obviously in Ames earlier that week. But you beat Kentucky, and you start a 10-game win streak. And I would love to see them keep hitting on all cylinders and go 3-0 in Kansas City if it's not too taxing along the way to get there. If they were to get beat at the Horn and they played a hard-fought game and you felt like momentum was sustained and it was just a Herculean heel-like effort or something, and that matchup would have to come in the title game, by the way, then I don't think you worry about it too much. Their resume to me is solid regardless. So, but to me, it's more about momentum sustaining it and you know, what does that look like in KC? Because when you've won 10 in a row right now, they're the hottest team in the Big 12 Conference, one of the hottest teams in the country. Hitting on all cylinders, maintaining that becomes the key more so than additional hardware, because as we've all seen from some of the pictures the university's put out over the last couple of days, Bill Self's office, his cup runneth over right now. He's running out of like coffee tables and desk space for all these trophies. So to me, just keep it rolling in terms of momentum and whether that leads to a title or not, I don't think it matters. You're going to be a one seed regardless.
Kevin, what do you think?
I'm the same way. I think it mattered more when we looked real tired, when Frank was a little beat up, Harry was a little beat up, Landon was beat up, Hunter was beat up. You know, when you started looking at these teams and going, gosh, they just don't look right. But right now, they look pretty right. I mean, it looks like a totally different team than it did in late January. And you know, since we have this momentum going, since we have this win streak going, I think I'm with Andrew here. I think I'd like to win it all and you know, keep the momentum going. But like Brian said, worst case scenario, if it's just a couple point loss here or there and momentum is fine and everyone's healthy, it doesn't matter near as much to me as the regular season title does. Two games in Kansas City at the Sprint Center is right before March Madness. I don't know. It doesn't really bother me if we lose that one, but I think you're right. Momentum is the key. If it's a momentum killer, they lose by 25 points or something ridiculous, then yeah, that would be no good.
And you know, to clarify, if you don't mind, to clarify, I hope they get all three too if Texas Tech can't be in the mix there. But where I'm coming from is I don't think anybody in the Big 12 is poised to jump up and take Kansas's one seed at this point. Not with Oklahoma losing four times in February, not with a 10-game win streak, number one in the RPI, all of that. So to me, this is not a year where you have to win the tournament to stay on the one line. That's where I'm coming from. But obviously, as a KU grad, I wish him nothing but the best, and we'd love to see another trophy added up there. If, again, of course, my Red Raiders can't be a part of it, too.
Well, we want to thank Brian for coming on. I don't think anyone knows more about the Big 12. This guy sees every team. He's been around for a long time, knows a lot about it. Just to close out on the Big 12 tournament, Brian will be there calling the game for the Red Raiders. We've covered the quarterfinals. The semifinals will be on Friday. Be at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. KU would play at 6 if they were to advance. The finals on Saturday at 5. Gentlemen, you want to give me some kind of prediction? If you don't want to predict a winner, maybe predict something else. Kevin, we'll go to you first.
I think that Oklahoma actually gets right and gets to the finals. And I think it ends up being another crazy game between KU and Oklahoma. And it's a coin flip on what happens. But Buddy's going to hit 9 or 12 or 15 threes just to show that if Denzel Valentine got the player of the year, he didn't deserve it. And that'll be the moment. So we'll see.
And Brian, what do you think?
You're looking at my bracket, man. I actually have OU in the title game opposite of Kansas as well. And much like when you get that part three of KU Texas, we're going to get part three of KU OU. And for now, I've got KU penciled in taking it and a 13-game winning streak heading into Selection Sunday.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Brian, for coming on. No one knows more about the Big 12. We appreciate you having you on. Guess you're going to fly up to Kansas City pretty quick.
I am. And you kidding me, man? This is a treat coming on with you guys. This is the only podcast I listen to. If I had time to listen to more, I might dial up Bill Simmons. But for now, this is the only one I listen to, and I love what you guys do. So, Kevin, a lifelong friend. Andrew, a guy I'm excited to be getting to know these last few years. Let's meet up for a cold one down at P&L, and hopefully both our teams are playing deep into the weekend.
That sounds good, Brian. All right. Hey, thanks so much for coming on. Have a good run in KC and travel safe, all right?
Thanks so much, fellas.
All right. Take care, Brian. All right, we are back. Thanks once again to friend of the podcast, Ryan Haney, down there in Texas Tech. And Andrew, before we go too far here, he's also our vote for the replacement for Bob Davis. Even though it'll be very difficult to replace Bob Davis, we think that Brian Haney is truly a good dude in this industry and would be great to return to KU. So I don't know about you, but man, I'm pretty excited. Hopefully he gets that chance.
Absolutely. We're rooting for him. Whether he gets it or not, he's always going to be a friend of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We look forward to having him on again. Got a lot of good information. We went pretty quick, covered a lot of teams. That was a fun conversation.
Indeed. All right, Andrew, let's get to the over-unders that we set at the beginning of this year. And this was before the regular season, so this was not just Big 12. And the first one, and probably the most important, we set the over-under for dunks for Perry Ellis at 19.5.
And unfortunately, you forgot to keep track.
I did not keep track. But however, I can tell you this. When we tweeted that out and when we did it, like, I got so much pushback. People were like, oh, that's a crazy low number. That's insanely low. Rah, rah, rah. You're crazy. Where can I make that bet? Rah, rah, rah. And I would wager that it was pretty close to that number.
I think it's, well, didn't we determine it was like 16 in Big 12 play?
15, I think, is what I counted of the Perry Dunk hashtag that I did.
Okay, so someone help us, please. There is a website out there that counts dunks as a statistic in their box score. We cannot find it for the life of us. This is our job. We failed at it. So someone help us out. I think it's over, but I don't think it's over by a lot.
I agree. I don't think it's probably over by much. In fact, his last 2 points in Allen Fieldhouse, Andrew, as a Jayhawk, were a Perry dunk. Were a hashtag Perry dunk.
Hashtag Perry dunk. So good on Perry. I want some more Perry dunks before the season ends.
Me too. So many more.
Season's not over. I think this postseason still counts towards
Perry dunk. Oh, does it? Okay, well, there you go. It's going to fly over then. You're right.
But we're still going to talk about it. Over under 1.5 number of players KU will have on the Big 12 first team. We can answer that one.
Mm-hmm.
We only got one.
Yeah,
Wayne Selden and Frank Mason both finished on the second team. Yep. Over under 0.5 rap songs about KU this year that we will play on this podcast. It's zero.
I mean,
play the country song.
If the postseason counts, like, it could still happen.
It's coming. Like, Chris Calico's in the lab right now just working on some beats.
You're exactly right.
Somebody,
BEE's out there. Chase Compton is trying to do his best. He's probably going to sound something like this. Take life and I embrace it. Elevate it so they hate it. When I die, they say the same shit like no one did what Chase did. Oh, Chase, man. Why hasn't Chase done a KU song yet? Like, of all the people to do one, to try to get his career going, like, why wouldn't he do that?
Chase, we know you listen to the podcast. We're pleading you in the next couple of weeks. Let's get this done. It could put us over the top.
It's probably because he's smoking too much. He just doesn't have the motivation to do it.
But let's move on and do over under 18 games played for Cheick Diallo. This is done at the beginning of the year, before he was even cleared. He played 25. Didn't play a lot, but he played 25.
I guess it's over. It doesn't feel like it's over, but it's over.
And then if cleared, over under 50 times, Diallo gives a Dikembe Mutombo finger wag after a block. I think he did it twice. The under hits.
The under pays.
It was two. I think it was two.
That sounds right.
All right, and then the last one we have, over under 38.5 three-pointers for Sviatoslav. This one's still up in the air. Sviat has 15. He has 31 three-pointers this year, but I think there's a lot of season left, so he could cross that mark.
Yeah, he could. He was playing pretty well here down the stretch too, so we'll see.
Okay, so we just wanted to go over our over-unders just to keep us honest, keep our questions that we pose early on running through the season. But now we have a special segment that we're going to end on. We have been receiving some mysterious communications from beyond, mm-hmm. Evan.
Yep, that's the best way to put it.
And we have been kind of granted the powers of seeing the future.
Mm-hmm.
And this future that we have, the sight that we have gained, has allowed us to look into the futures of five seniors from the Big 12. And so we're going to, you know, harness all of this power.
Channeling right now.
All of this future fortune-telling power. And we're going to tell you the futures of five seniors who are leaving the Big 12 this year. Kevin, can you focus that energy and give me the first prediction that we've got going on?
Okay, let me focus real hard.
It's not a prediction. It's the truth.
This is what's actually going to happen. Yeah, that's the point. Okay, it's coming to me, Andrew. This one is about Hunter Mickelson. Here it goes. Hunter Mickelson returns to Arkansas and works as a farmhand until he gets a Snapchat from the girl in the 42 jersey, not a 41. And in that Snapchat, she says that she gets him and she's the one and she wore a 42 jersey, not a 41. He moves back to Lawrence. They get married. He opens a store in North Lawrence called Kaw River Hunting and Fishing, where he teaches people to fish on the river and shoot birds and shit. He has five kids, Andrew. One of them's named Hunter, the other one Fisher, the other one Cooter, the other one Harley, and then there's Trigger. And Trigger, Andrew, turns into an all Big 12 small forward.
Trigger Mickelson. Can't wait. Okay, my turn. Let me summon all of this fortune-telling power.
Get the energy. Right.
This one is about Ryan Spangler from Oklahoma.
Good. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Ryan Spangler opens a tattoo shop called Spangler's. He recruits Royce White to be his first employee. This shop specializes in tattooing college sports athletes with things like giant lions, ornate basketballs, things that say FOE, predictive trophies, and mantras like no days off. It fails after the shop is confused with a fast food burger joint.
Oh,
Ryan Spangler.
Too bad.
Ryan
Spangler. It's too bad that it fails, but that's good to hear. That's good to know.
Okay. All right. Can you summon some power here?
Hang on. I got to bring it back. Okay. I got one coming. This is George Niang, Andrew. He's coming to me. All right. Here he is. George Niang goes to play basketball in Poland for a few years until he realizes his calling as a restaurateur, specifically steakhouses. He returns to Ames, his home, as he stated, to start the steakhouse. He manages the back of the house and calls on his good friend Matt Thomas to manage the front of the house. The restaurant takes off, largely on the backing of amorous Iowa State fans and the restaurant's signature dish, the Filet Niang.
Whoa! I can't wait to dive into a Filet Niang.
I want my Filet Niang medium.
I want my Filet Niang medium rare.
Medium rare.
All right. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to get another one. All right. This next one is about Rico Gathers from Baylor. Okay, you ready?
That's good. All right,
Rico Gathers. After winning his fifth Super Bowl for the San Antonio Raiders, Rico Gathers retires from the NFL and enters the race for president, which is now decided by a hand-to-hand battle to the death on the west lawn of the United States Capitol building. After defeating Donald Trump Jr., Gathers is sworn into office and peace reigns in America for a generation. Scott Drew is not appointed as Secretary of Defense.
Oh, there it is. That's good.
That's what's going to happen. All right. I think we've got enough power for one more.
Is there one more?
Can you summon enough fortune-telling power from this?
Summon it up. I got one.
Beyond. Okay. One
coming.
More.
This is Perry Ellis, Andrew. All right. Here it is. Perry Ellis gets drafted as Mr. Irrelevant in the NBA, but gets a guaranteed contract and parlays it eventually into a 25-year NBA career, becoming the only player to play in the league longer than 23 years, but also becoming the oldest player ever, overtaking Nat Hickey, who played when he was 45 years old. Perry Ellis has two kids, a boy and a girl. He names the boy Halo and the girl Call of Duty. Halo also becomes an NBA player and gets drafted by his dad's team.
Oh, I think the power's gone.
It's gone.
Power's gone. So, fortune telling. We have five predictions, fortunes that we have told for these seniors in the Big 12.
Oh, that was good.
Good luck, fellas. That's what's going to happen.
They all sound so successful.
They're going to do well for themselves.
I mean, Ryan Spangler might be the one that really kind of gets the the raw in there. But
it can't all be roses, but at least they made a good go of it.
All right. Well, there you go, Andrew. Let's get out of here. All the energy is now drained from me after all of the very difficult fortune telling. But very excited about the Big 12 tournament this week. Hopefully, KU goes on a little run, gets through the Big 12 tournament, and then obviously has a ton of momentum going toward Selection Sunday and next week into the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament. Just a little point here. Andrew and I will not be doing a podcast on Sunday, Selection Sunday, which is normally when we would have our podcast. We will both be out of town. But we will do one before KU plays. We'll preview whoever it is we're playing on Selection Sunday. We'll get that going probably Tuesday night or Wednesday before that happens. So watch out for that. In the interim, please do go and give us a rating and review, a comment on iTunes. It helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. We really appreciate all of the folks that are going out there to do that. I think, Andrew, we're at 95 ratings.
It's pretty good.
We should get to 100 by next podcast. That's the goal. So if you could go out there and get us to 100, that'd be awesome. Truly appreciate it. It's really the only thing we ask of you listening to the podcast. So if you want to find me, Jayhawk Talk on Twitter, find Andrew, Sherlock Hoops. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast, hopefully as Big 12 postseason tournament champion. Until then, rock job.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.